You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time now on RNIB Connect Radio to talk our beloved canine companions, our beloved guide dogs in guide dog blogs. And joining me today is someone who has certainly have had a plenty of guide dogs. Jeanette Scott joins me now. Jeanette, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting me on the call.
So before we talk about the guide dogs you've had, can you tell us, you know, what made you apply for your first guide dog? What was that kind of factor that made you go, yes, this is exactly what I want and this is why I need it now?
I think the main reason was, at the time I lived in an island in the Outer Hebrides on the Isle of Lewis, and I felt I was quite restricted where I could go because there was no pavements. Using a long cane at that time on the roads was just not very safe because there was ditches either side of the single track roads in some areas, and then even the main roads were not that wide, not the best maintained roads either, even at that time. I just wanted to be able to be a little bit more independent in travelling, and it meant that I would be able to get on the ferry by myself across to the mainland and also travelling towards Inverness area, which I know quite well. So that's what I wanted to do, was get on about a bit more, take my family with me and literally have a bit more independence. And that was the main thing.
So let's have a chat about your first guide dog then. The first dog you've got and what sort of experience was it? Tell us a little bit about your first dog.
My first guide dog I got probably about 6 months after applying. My first guide dog was a yellow Labrador called Dino, spelled D-I-N-O, like in the Flintstones. And he was a boy. He was a he wanted his own way all the time. But at that time, you weren't actually told what dog you were getting. You didn't get told in advance what dog you were getting, unless it was under exceptional circumstances. So I had to sit and wait in my bedroom for the dog, the tick, tick, tick of the dog's paws coming on the corridor. I found out very quickly you had to identify which dog was yours because all the dogs are very similar. And he's a scar on his nose because he was cheeky. He was very nosy. If he didn't want to do something, he was stubborn, he wouldn't. So if I was in a hurry to catch a bus, so this day I knew it was a half day, so I had to go in and obviously try and hurry the dog to go to get the bus to get home. And of course he stubbornly decided he was going to sit at every single curb, sit and wait patiently for all the traffic to cross, and he would cross the road very slowly. And I was trying to hurry the dog along. Would he hurry? No, he wouldn't. So I actually missed the bus and I had to wait nearly 6 hours for the workers' bus.
Let's take the stubbornness aside. What were kind of the positive traits he's had?
He was a very good worker. Nothing bothered him. He's a kaboom in the china shop sometimes. He'd just work, very concentrated on his work, very keen to do what I wanted, apart from when I was in a hurry. But he was very good that way. He's very good at going over rough ground, across the croft, that sort of thing. He had his little cheekiness. I remember going into a baker's shop in Stornoway and he nicked a French stick out of the bales, the baskets. And the chap that I knew, thankfully, I knew him, and he said, are you going to pay for that? I went, pay for what? He said, your dog's got a French stick in its mouth. And I thought, well, I better pay for it. So he didn't get to eat it, though. Yes, he was cheeky that way, but no, he was very good. He was a very good worker, actually. He did work really, really well. He liked the horses that we had at that time, and he didn't bother the sheep that we had either. He was very good. He was very good with the children as well. He liked to play, and he liked to chase his tail. He was very good with other animals. He didn't bother with the horses, because we had two horses at that time. He didn't bother with the horses, and he didn't bother with the hens or the ducks or anything like that we had. So he was very good with other animals.
It's quite an interesting environment for a guide dog to be in when there's a lot of animals.
One of his good things was you could actually work along the pavements. Well, there's no pavements, but along the roads, taking me, maybe one of my friends lived over a mile from me, so it was down a steep hill and back up the other end. There was no pavement, so he was very good at taking me there, and he'd stop every time a car came towards us. He'd stop and literally protect me from the cars that were coming.
Can we talk about your current guide dog? Can you tell us a little bit about your current guide dog that you've got?
My current guide dog, her name is Esme. She's a German Shepherd Cross Retriever. Her character is quite a strange one because she's got a mixture of the German Shepherd concentration and also the bomb-proof style of the retriever. Nothing bothers her that way. Loud noises don't bother her. She was initially bothered by dog distraction when I first got her. I managed to stop that from interfering with her work. It was just more, she was just a bit anxious, more about other dogs coming towards her. When she realised I could cope with that, I'd take that strain away from her. So if it came to any issues, I just used to sit her down and just make sure that she was reassurance, I think, was one of the main things I had to give her, because if she felt as if she was not quite secure in what she was doing, I'd just get her to sit and wait until that whatever was bothering her past. I think that's the thing you need to do. You work as a team. So it was just trying to give her that reassurance and making sure that she was okay. After that, she doesn't bother about dogs now. She just ignores them, even walking on the street in the town today. I don't know how many little yappy dogs we pass. She just ignores them. She puts her nose up in the air as if to say, I'm not going to speak to you. And the good thing about this dog, she was part PRT trained, you know, using positive reinforcement. So she uses the touch command. So she'll touch objects for you. If you ask her to touch touch a handle or touch maybe a post box, if you're posting back, you're talking newspapers, that sort of thing, she'll touch the letterbox for you. That way you know where it is. I get her to touch the door handles in places, so I can actually find the handle easy to open and close doors, that sort of thing.
I found my dog can do the same sort of pretty much. I kind of had to train him a little bit to do it, but he has done it.
And she can shut the back door. She opens the back door to come in and then she gets to close it again.
Now that is clever. My dog doesn't know how to do that, which may or may not be a good idea. Depends, really.
I didn't teach her to open the door, but the people that had puppy watched her in Aberdeen said that she was a door opener. Because I couldn't realise what happened when I moved into this house only a matter of days when I got told I was going to get Esme. And when I got her, it was just coming up towards Christmas time when I came home with her. And I kept on thinking, I'm sure I shut the back door. And I'd be wandering through and I have to shut it again. And then I'd put the dog out. I thought, I'll let the dog in a second. And then the door would be open. It took me a wee while to realise the dog was doing it, not me.
That is quite amusing. I like that. Quite interesting. Thank you very much, Jeanette, for coming on to tell us about your, two out of your many guide dogs. I'm sure we will get you back on to tell us a little bit more. But for now, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.